Euradio, l'invité de la rédaction, Juan Barceló Moyano.
Philip Amaral is the Policy and Development Director at the European Cyclist Federation in Brussels. This association, established in 1983, assembles cyclist organizations in over 40 countries in Europe. Its aim is to achieve more and better cycling for all of Europe. Good morning, Mr. Amaral.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
So I'm going to start with a bit of a maybe ideological question. Is biking a political stance?
Yes and no. I will say first no, because cycling is an everyday means of transport used by millions and millions of Europeans to get to work, to school, for leisure, for tourism. It is a fully ordinary form of transportation that's been around for a long time. People cycle because it's easy, it's fun, it's healthy. So on the one sense, it's not political. But on the other sense, it is. And the reason why it's political is that ECF and other organizations are working very hard to urge governments at the level of EU member states, national governments, and the European Union itself to invest more money to grow cycling in Europe and in individual countries. So politically, we'd like to see cycling become more of a recognized, fully-fledged mode of transport, which means more financial investments in cycling infrastructure and policies that help people access bikes through financial incentives and other policies that help people who are living in areas that are without many transport options to have access to cycling. At the level of the European Union, we're trying to get an EU-level cycling strategy. So in that sense, cycling is political. It's also political at a local level as well. There are actions all around Europe to make streets more livable, to change motor traffic patterns, to provide people with more chances to walk and to cycle and to take public transport. So in that sense, it's also a part of local politics, I'd say.
So it is indeed one of the main goals of the European Cyclist Federation, advocacy at the European level for biking. How has the political vision about biking changed over the last decades? Is it more of a priority now than before?
Yes, I would say. And I think the biggest change happened during the COVID pandemic lockdowns in 2020. People were looking for a way to get outside and to exercise. And a lot of governments responded by building nearly 3,000 kilometers of temporary cycle lanes. A lot of those are now becoming permanent. And I would say that has led to a realization across Europe that people cycle not just for fun, but people cycle to get somewhere. It's a mode of transport. And that's led to increased investments. We're seeing countries that are taking up cycling strategies. Cities are changing almost overnight. Paris is one of the best examples now in Europe. So I would say in the last few years, cycling has become much more prominent and important in policymaking circles.
So as you say, Mr. Amaral, cities have made a lot to change mobility through their streets. But you call for biking to be in the European agenda too. What can be done from Brussels, from the European Union, to foster that?
Well, we think a bunch of things. Firstly, governments at all levels are creating plans that may look different to one another. Governments are investing in different ways in cycling, from a lot to very little. And there's plenty of governments that are still not doing anything. Now, at the level of the European Union, cycling has been increased in prominence over the last year, I would say. At the end of last year, the European Commission published a new urban mobility strategy. So how to improve mobility in cities across Europe. They'll be working with cities to develop mobility plans that will need to feature ways that they can increase walking and cycling. And that will be a precondition for EU funding for cities. So that's important. The EU is also including cycling in its new trans-European transport network, so Europe's main transport policy. Let's say all of this is piecemeal. It's all nice things that are spread out. Now, road transport emissions are about 90% of the EU's transportation emissions. So we think, actually, now is the chance for the European Union to put all of these policies together, put up a few common goals to increase cycling infrastructure, to fund cycling infrastructure, to get more people on bikes, so that the EU can achieve its emissions reductions goals, and it can achieve a whole host of other goals, including in health and in industry as well.
It's a bit of an all-encompassing action plan that you're asking for. Biking is still in a very different situation between countries. There's a lot of disparities. Why do you think that's like that?
Cycling has different places in the cultural context of every European country. So, of course, we're all familiar with cycling in the Netherlands, cycling in Denmark. But I think it's important to remember that these countries have not always been like that. They didn't just start that way. The Netherlands especially was a very car-congested country. I mean, it still is. Most people are still driving a car, but there's a significant amount of people cycling as well. It was a series of government decisions and reprioritization and funding that led to what we see now. And so there are a number of countries in Europe that are presently in that situation, especially in Eastern and Southern Europe, that don't quite have that same culture of cycling. But it doesn't mean it's not possible. It just means that governments just haven't taken those decisions yet. Now we're seeing some changes around Europe. In Finland, for example, a country that experiences long winters, and people would say that, you know, oh, well, people only cycle when it's pleasant weather outside. The government of Finland, but also city governments such as Helsinki and Oulu, this is a city in the far north of Finland, have invested really heavily in cycling. And that's shown results in terms of the number of people who are cycling. So it's possible to change those cultures, and it's possible to make cycling more of a broadly accepted mode of transport across Europe. And we think if the EU prioritizes that in strategic terms through funding and policies at the EU level, that can really have that effect.
How do you assess the situation in France?
Yeah, well, the situation in France is looking very positive. We're definitely watching closely at the level of Paris. I mean, they have instituted a number of changes that has seemingly overnight turned Paris into one of Europe's premier cycling cities. But also nationwide, we're very aware of the Plan Vélo and the financial commitments and investments that the national government of France is making to grow cycling nationwide. So we like to point to France and Paris as some of the new leading countries, in addition to the traditional ones that we know, Netherlands, Denmark, maybe Belgium. What's also interesting is that France has joined a growing coalition of EU member states that is asking the European Commission to institute an EU cycling strategy. And this is an initiative that has been led by Belgium and other countries such as Luxembourg, Netherlands, Ireland as well, and France recently joined that. So it's nice to see France also weighing in for cycling at the continental level. And we hope that can have a lot of impact.
But even as biking policies are deployed, do you think biking is an option for everybody in cities? Are there social obstacles to biking?
Well, we think cycling is an option for a lot of people. But of course, there are always exceptions. So what we say at every chance we get is that, you know, cycling should be part of a mix of mobility in cities, especially. There should be a strong backbone of public transport that's accessible for everyone. That's affordable. That should be followed up by really great cycling and walking infrastructure. There is a space for cars in cities, but that space should be smaller. So we're advocating across Europe for redistribution of space. Most cities in Europe are still disproportionately shared for cars, for motor vehicles. So that has created a lot of barriers for how people move in cities and how people experience health and livability in cities. What we found out through our research is that, you know, most journeys in a city are less than 5 kilometers, and a quarter of journeys in cities are less than 1 kilometer. So people are usually taking short trips in cities that can definitely be cycled.
All right. So from here in Nantes and from all over Europe, we'll keep following how cities transform themselves to being more bike friendly. Philippe Amaral, you are the Policy and Development Director at the European Cyclists Federation. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Euradio vous a présenté l'invité de la rédaction. Retrouvez les podcasts de la rédaction dès maintenant sur euradio.fr.